Well, some familiar passages of Scripture this week, which is not uncommon in the liturgical church. You end up hearing these things several times over the years, and that's not a bad thing. And as I was reflecting on the texts and trying to discern what does the Holy Spirit have for us in this Scripture, these various passages, and the fact that, depending on the translation you use, the word stone or some variation on it in the Peter passage shows up 8 times in not very many verses at all. Sometimes it's stone, sometimes it's rock, sometimes it's cornerstone. Doesn't matter. It's all over the place. And so I thought, well, there must be something about stones we're supposed to be thinking about. And I thought, well, stones, what does that mean? Where does that connect? Lots of use for stones. They're very pretty. I know at least one person who part of their artistic expression is working with stones, polishing them and setting them and making jewelry and statues and things. And then they're beautiful things. So that's one use of stones. You know, you can skip them on a lake. If you're good, you can skip them a number of times. There's even a world championship held at least once a year where they count the number of skips, and I believe pity pats are the ones they call it, the little skips at the end, where you can build things with stones. I can't. And I don't know very many people who can build with stone anymore. So if you're going to build with stone, you need a builder. And that's how these two things sort of came together for me. Not so much our Acts reading, but the gospel lesson and the portion from the letter from St. Peter, they connect to me. And they connect in an interesting way that I hadn't really thought of that much. We tend to, when we're into this part of John, to zero in on one of the I am statements, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's nothing wrong with that. I've preached on that. It's well worth spending some time with. But then we have this business about Jesus is going to prepare a place. And I've never really thought about that. I was always sort of tied up in Sunday school visual aids and things. And the place is a sort of ethereal city with, depending on sort of the era, big houses or palaces or lots of gardens and lots of parks and things, and it's very pretty. And I was thinking about that and thought, well, wait a second. And yes, I'm well aware of the doctrine of creation ex nihilo, where God simply says, and it is. But then again, Jesus says he's going to go and prepare a place. So maybe he's going to go and build it. And I thought, so how do those two come together? And I couldn't make them really work the way I might like, because what Peter's talking about is something quite different than what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is going to prepare a place. Peter is saying, we are here, and we are going to be built into something while we're here. So the connection is, well, tenuous at best, I suppose, but still they somehow come together for me in the realization that this world is not all there is. This is not the end of all things, that depending on your interpretation, it will be renewed and it will be, this will be where God lives, or it will be renewed and there will be another place as well. There's lots of technicalities we can talk about if we think we need to. But the bigger thing is that there's going to be a place where things make sense in a way they don't make sense now. And that would be okay in and of itself, but it sort of leaves now out of the picture. And that's where I come back to Peter's letter. Because what Peter is talking about is us as living stones. And I've told you about the choir that my mother had for young people back in the 70s and 80s, intentionally called the Living Stones. And yes, it was from Peter, but my mother, with her children, if nothing else, and the fact that my mother was aware of popular culture, was perfectly aware of the Rolling Stones, and I think quite enjoyed the connection there, and may have even been using it to pull the nose of a few stuffy people, I'm not sure. I never asked. But so we sang in this group called the Living Stones, and it was an important passage to my mother because a choir is a coming together of disparate voices to create one sound, not a unison sound, although there's unison, many unison parts in choir, and they're quite lovely. But I like this idea of the stones coming together to make something. And then Peter says, we are those stones. And he mixes his metaphors a little bit, and why not? I mean, I mix my metaphors all the time. But we have this idea of building something. And he goes on to describe it as, we are becoming this royal priesthood. This translation says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a nation of people belonging to God. And it says, once you weren't a people, now you are. And it's more, it's another allusion to that idea of what building does. Because what building does is it takes a big pile of stuff and arranges it in such a way that it's useful. I mean, a pile of building materials might be attractive. Probably get a good picture out of it if you were a photographer. But its purpose is to be taken from where it is and then joined with other pieces till finally you have whatever it is you're building, whether it's a doghouse or a mansion or a giant office building. It's the pieces that come together to make the thing. And Peter takes us from this idea of stones and rocks that cause people to stumble and things into this idea of people coming together to be a particular group of people. As he puts it, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And Peter, being a Jew, of course, is certainly connecting back to the nation of Israel. But he's not saying we are going to become the nation of Israel. He's not saying the nation of Israel will spring up again as it was under the glory days of Solomon. But he is helping us see that we're going to come together, and we're going to come together as this new nation, this new people, and we're going to have a purpose, in this case, he says, a royal priesthood belonging to God, so that we can declare the praise of this God who called us out of darkness and into light. Once we weren't a people, now you are. And so When I pull these things together in my mind, what I find myself thinking is that there's this disparate group of useful things out there. And in this case, there's a disparate group of useful people. And every person is useful. Everyone has something to offer somewhere. But one of the things that we've discovered just through the experience of humanity over the last millennia, and now we can probably even explain why and things, is that a group of people can often accomplish more than that group of people could as individuals. Working together, we can do more. Working together, we're stronger. Whether that's, I've currently been listening, simultaneously listening to and reading a couple of books at the moment, used to be more, coming out of the 30 Years' War, which was that mess that destroyed Germany from 1631 to 1638. So 1648 with the Treaty of Westphalia. So it's not exactly 30 years, proving once again that historians are perfectly happy with being close, so we shouldn't be too bothered about it either. But this idea of people coming together, even if it's for something as significant, but at the same time, sort of prosaic as defense, more people can defend themselves better than a group of people or a selection of individuals defending themselves. We get together for strength, but we also get together for comfort, for encouragement, for learning. I've never been in a group of people, and this certainly, well, it definitely includes children, where there hasn't been something there for me to learn. And Peter is saying that it's not just that we have been moved from darkness to light. It's not just that we've been moved from not really knowing who we are in the grand scheme of things into a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's saying that when that happens, we are brought together. Not in perfection, as Bev and I were talking earlier. I mean, there are disagreements in the building, if you will, and sometimes we have different wings that are accomplishing different things. But this idea that we're more collectively than we are individually, not just in the sense of protecting ourselves if we go back hundreds of years, not just in the sense of having more economic clout. When we're together, we can often, in a trusted group or a group that understands the foibles of humans, when we're together, we can be ourselves sometimes more than we can when we're alone. When we're together in a group that understands that human beings are anything but perfect, and certainly not omnicompetent, we get together in a group and we can do things that no one of us could do, because I look at this group and there are so many different talents and abilities and experience and wisdom and all of these things in each of you that fill in gaps that I have and that we all have. And we become a building. I don't think it's a surprise that Paul used a similar idea in that he equates the church to a body. Because a body, just like a building, has to have different parts working. At home, we're currently working our way through ER. What an interesting show. It was really groundbreaking when you realize how old it is. Especially when you look at these actors and you think of what they look like now, and you just think, look, it's George Clooney as a baby. Not quite, but almost. But so that body notion, that when something goes wrong with part of your body, it affects all of it. A building that has bad struts is in trouble, or doesn't have them at all. We need the parts that we don't necessarily understand. One of my coworkers has a child who's becoming an architectural technologist, I think is what they call them. And it sort of goes in between architects who say, hey, I want a building that looks like an egg, and builders who go, huh? And the person in the middle says, this is what we need to do. This is what we have to have. These pieces doing this, so we don't have too much stress on that piece. And every piece matters. Every piece is important. You can't have a building without a structure to put it in. And then it becomes a structure itself. And the church is the same. This royal priesthood that Peter talks about, that is being built into something. It's not completed yet, and that's all right. Some buildings you can throw up in an afternoon, I suppose. I've seen sped up footage of Amish barn raisings. Incredible what a group of people can do in a short period of time. Sometimes it takes a long time to build things because they're complicated, because materials have to come from a long way. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's being built, and we are being built. And in Hebrews, it talks about the Christ being the master builder. And I think of that as sort of a combination of an architect and a contractor, the one who makes sure that everything holds together and knows why. And so if we're the stones, it's good to know that the builder we have knows what they're doing. I used the example earlier of, you know, whether you're building a doghouse or not. I'm not saying I couldn't build something that a dog could get into and out of safely. But that's not where my skills lie. I would need someone to build a doghouse, or at least tell me how. Because that's what I just don't know that. You know, I've heard struts are important. You know, I say that to actually, there are people who build houses and things, and they just go white. Boy, don't you ever come near anything that needs to be built. Like putting things together that way isn't what I can do, but I can be part of that. I can hammer nails slowly. I drive screws really well, pretty much always straight. I can carry things around. And then we can have something at the end. But it's the builder that makes it happen. And us as stones, living stones, being made into this building, made into this royal priesthood, the only thing that keeps us going in some ways is the knowledge that the builder knows what needs to be done. The architect is well trained and experienced. Because sometimes I'm not sure what's being built. And what it often, to borrow slightly from C.S. Lewis, I often think I'm building a doghouse. And as it turns out, no, we're building a palace. So it takes longer than I think it should. But we're getting something even more extraordinary at the other end. We're called to be a chosen people who are a royal priesthood, who are people who minister to whoever is there to be ministered to. Because that's what a priesthood does. Not because you've got letters after your name or before your name, but because you are part of this people that God is putting together out of all of us. Doesn't matter where we come from, doesn't matter what we're good at or what we're not good at. God takes all of us and puts us where we are best placed. And we get a building out of that. We get a people out of that. And I'm very happy to be working with a builder who knows what they're doing, even when honestly, sometimes I have no idea what's coming next.